moment where Jesus looks at these disciples, these men who have been following him, who have been watching what he's done, watching him multiply food and heal people, even raise a girl from the dead, and they're thinking, wow, this guy is amazing. And then he looks at them and he says, okay, guys, I want you to go do this now. I want you to go do the things that I have been doing. And I'm so glad Bud and Mark did that skit for us, because it gave us this great understanding of just normal guys doing extraordinary things. How many of you want to be normal people that see and do extraordinary things? Amen? I believe that every single one of us, inside of us, we have something that says, man, I believe that there's more to my life than just this ritual of religion. I believe that there's more to my life than just what I've experienced. And I believe what that is that God is calling us and drawing us in to his presence and to his power. And he's saying, hey, there is more that I want you to experience. There's more to this life that I want you to be a part of. And this morning, every single one of us, Jesus is looking at us. And he's saying, I want you to go and to heal the brokenhearted. I want you to go and proclaim the gospel and to understand the power that is in my name. Amen? I'll never forget, I was in Farmington, New Mexico, and I had been understanding that there is power in the name of Jesus. I always knew that. I always believed in miracles. I had always believed that God could heal, but I began to understand that God wanted to heal, that in fact he gave us the power in the name of Jesus to experience healing and miracles. And I was sitting in the boardroom in Farmington, New Mexico, watching this video called Father of Lights. If you've never seen it, I encourage you to watch it. In this video, it follows these different groups of people as they go and they experience miracles. And literally in front of your eyes, you're watching this screen and seeing miracles take place. And I remember going, oh my goodness, I want to experience that. I want to live that kind of life. I want to live a life that's daring, right? I want to live a life that's beyond safety. I want to live like these people are living. And so I remember praying, okay, God, I want to experience this. Would you allow me to experience this? And I want to just go crazy. I want to see people get healed, all this stuff. And I remember saying, I'm never going to let another opportunity go by. Well, 5 minutes later, I walk into Subway. And here's this lady standing right next to me with a cast on her leg. And what happens when you make this bold claim to God that you're going to just pray for people and see healing? All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit goes, okay, big boy, let's see how great you think you can do this. And I start sweating. I mean, my shirt is probably like dripping with sweat. I'm standing in the line at Subway. What kind of drink? Oh, yeah. Like, I can't even think about what sandwich I wanted. I probably got a completely different sandwich than I actually wanted. Because this lady's standing there, and I'm thinking through my head, going through scenarios, how can I talk to her? How can I ask her if I can pray for all this stuff? And I remember Brittany was next to me. We got through the line. I get my drink. I'm filling my drink up. And there she starts walking out of the door. And I'm like, ah! You know? And so I remember looking at Brittany, looking at her. And Brittany has no idea what's going on. I just hand Brittany my drink. And I said, I'll be right back. And I ran outside. And this lady probably thinks I was nuts. And I say, ma'am. And she's getting into her car. She's probably about to pull concealed on me. And I'm like, hey, I know this is weird, but can I pray for you? And she looks at me, and in my mind, I'm thinking she's going to pull out a baton and start beating me. You know, that's what we all think. Like, it's the worst case scenario when we ask someone if we can pray for them. And she just looked at me. She goes, oh, my gosh, yes. Please, can you pray for me? That would be so wonderful. And so I laid my hands on her leg, and I just said, you know, in the name of Jesus, we just command healing in this leg. And, God, we just ask for complete healing right now. And she didn't take her. I was hoping she'd take it off and start walking around, but she didn't. But all I did was give God an opportunity to work, right? And from that moment on, I kid you not, I saw a guy's neck that was completely broken get healed. I knew that I had a girl in my youth group that her hip was so bad she couldn't dance. We prayed for her. She was completely healed and could dance. And I had a student, I think I've told you a story before, that we just said, name of Jesus, depression, leave. One time when I was on stage just praying, and he said it literally just left his body. We got to the point where my entire youth group, if they saw a student that was hurting in any way, they would just go up, lay hands on them, and pray that they'd be healed. And we saw headaches leave, knees that were hurting just completely healed. I had a student at our youth camp that got hit in the side with a pool ball, and prayed for him, completely healed. And I began to realize God wants this to happen in our life. Church, God does not want you to go through life with ailments and things that keep you from being able to live a life. God doesn't want that. And this morning, what I'm going to talk about offends some people. Sometimes it's hard to talk about because, can we be honest, our experience doesn't always show us that God wants to heal us all the time, even though that's what the Bible says. This morning, what I'm going to ask of you and ask of me is that we would kind of throw our inhibitions aside and our experiences aside, and we would allow the Word of God to speak to us more than our past and our experiences. Can we do that this morning? Let's just pray real quick before we get into this. Jesus, I believe that you want the miraculous to happen in this place, not only in this place, but just in our everyday lives, that it would be the normal that we would walk in the supernatural. And God, I pray that today as we talk about this, that our hearts would be open to receive your word, your truth, and your best for our life. That's what we want, God, your best for our life, because that's what you want. Your word says that you came to give us life abundantly, and that's all we desire. In your name, amen. Amen. So how do we get from the place of knowing that there's power in the name of Jesus to living in the power of the name of Jesus? It's this amazing thing, like they did so well at this skit, that there is so much power in the name of Jesus. And there's some things that we need to begin to understand to begin to walk in the miraculous. Because God wants us to do that. He wants us to heal people. He wants us to drive out demons. I've never done that, but I think it'd be really cool. I want to. You know, anybody want to drive out a demon? Yeah, I want to. Sometimes I think people are demonic, but I probably shouldn't cast something out at that moment. Anyway, I'm sure my wife wants to cast a demon out of me every once in a while. As Pastor Mark said last week, there's so many great things that come with the name of Jesus, right? There's salvation that he talked about last week. That his name means God rescues or God saves. It's this amazing thing. But then there's also this power that comes in his name. And let's this morning first look at why that is. Why is there power? When Philippians 2 verse 6, it gives us this great understanding. It says, though he, being Jesus, was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Although he did have that, remember? Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. Then he appeared in human form. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, everyone say, therefore. Whenever there's a therefore, it's there for a reason. It says, therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all names. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Why is Jesus' name more powerful than all others? Because God gave him that honor. Because he chose to leave heaven, leave all the majesty of heaven. Can you imagine for a moment leaving heaven? If I saw heaven, if any of us saw heaven, we would not want to leave. We'd be like, take me now, Jesus. I'm ready. You know, I say that sometimes now. I'm ready. You know, leave. I'm good. But Jesus said, no, I'm going to go and I'm going to die. And God says, hey, I am going to elevate your name above all other names. This is the Christmas story. The fact that Jesus, who is God himself, came to earth, was born a child, and lived, died, rose again, so that we could have a relationship with God. This is the love of God. And God, because of what Jesus did, says, hey, the name of Jesus is going to be above all names. All names. Do you believe this morning that the name of Jesus is bigger than cancer? Do you believe the name of Jesus is bigger than death? You know? Above all names. So, the first thing we have to understand is this, is that one, that we must understand that Jesus has all authority. All authority. So, what can you do with someone who has all authority? You know, if you're talking to someone that doesn't have any authority, and they say, hey, go and do this thing, then you're like, well, you don't have the authority to tell me that. But if you were to talk to the President of the United States, and he says, hey, I want you to go and do this, you go, okay, because he has all authority. Well, Jesus has all authority, so what does that mean? That we can trust him. That's the second thing. One, understand that Jesus has all authority. Two, that we can trust him, that we can trust what he says. In John 14, verse 12, he says this, I tell you the truth. So we can trust that, right? Anyone, say anyone, who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son, this is the kicker, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. It's crazy to think that Jesus gave us that kind of just authority. That kind of just kind of free power there. Like, hey, ask for anything in my name so that God would get glorified. Now, a lot of people take this like, oh, I can ask for anything. I want a Lamborghini, Jesus. How many, right? I want a new house. Maybe 5,000 square feet would be wonderful, you know. And they take that. But going back, why is it there? So that God can get the glory, right? Jesus saying, hey, I want you to experience the supernatural. I want you to do that. And what all you have to do, let's see this, ask anything in my name. He sets it up. I love how God sets this up. That God reminds us over and over and over again when we're praying. It's not just saying in the name of Jesus to end the sentence. It's understanding the authority that is in the name of Jesus. Right? Literally, every time we pray, every time we ask God for something, every time we need anything miraculous, what comes back is the understanding that it is only through Jesus that we are even able to approach the Father and ask Him of these things. Right? You know, it's only through what Jesus has done. And here's the deal. It's really easy for us to forget that. Right? It's really easy for us to get to this place where we go, hey, here's the deal. I'm going to heal you. We're going to see you get healed. We're going to see all these great things happen. And we can forget sometimes that it is God who gives us the ability. I told you earlier about where my youth group was, and we're experiencing all these awesome things. And man, can I be real with you this morning? Something started to happen in me, and it was pride. I started going, man, look at our youth group. Look at what's going on. Look at, I mean, we're praying for people, and people were getting healed like every week at our youth group. And I'm like, man, this is so awesome. And I started thinking, all right, like we've got the corner of the market, you know? Like, this is awesome. And I started to bank more on my holiness than who God is. Have we all been there? You start seeing the miraculous happen in front of you, and you start thinking it has something to do with you instead of who God is. The fact that He just loves us enough to let us be a part of His kingdom. And I started to let pride seek into my life, and then all of a sudden I stopped seeing miracles happen as much. I stopped seeing people get healed when I pray for them, and I'm like, what's wrong? It must be something wrong with me. It must be I need to get more holy. I need to start praying more. I need to do all this, and I completely missed it. Because in John 15, Jesus addresses this very thing. He says this, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. Going to verse 12, he says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. These trees, I cut them down from outside and brought them in here. Now, the second that I cut them, they stopped producing leaves, right? Because they're severed from the life, right? They still look really pretty, especially when you light them up. But they're not able to produce the thing that is natural to them. When you and I, when we say, Jesus, come into my life, what we're doing is we're attaching ourselves to that vine. There's nothing I could have done to attach myself to that vine, right? But Jesus says, hey, just in the same way as you attach yourself to the vine, now abide in me, remain in me, which means we can not remain in him. We can say, God, you know, it's about me, pop, right? It's about my goodness, pop. It's my holiness, pop. I go to church every week. God, don't I deserve a miracle? Pop. God, I tithe every week. Don't I deserve this healing? Pop. And we're not attaching ourselves to him and realizing that, God, it is you and only you that does this. And we begin to sometimes think, God, don't I deserve this? Or even to the point we get discouraged and we say, never mind, I'm going to just stop asking. Jesus says, hey, abide in me. He says, anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you may ask, again he says this, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples, and this brings great glory to my Father. I love this. Jesus is constantly reminding us, one, that we can experience the miraculous in our life, right? That he has authority to tell us that, so we can trust him. And that's the second point. Number three is this, that miracles give glory to God. See, when I'm a part of that vine, when I'm trusting in Jesus, when I'm in fellowship with him, in communion with him, and talking with him, spending time with him, what it does is it produces naturally this amazing fruit that gives glory to God. And Jesus even attaches this to, hey, ask for things. Not only are you going to just produce fruit, but part of that is you ask me for things. Ask anything in my name so that it'll give glory to the Father. How many of you, when you ask God for a healing in your life, for a miracle, how many of you do it? I used to do this. With this begging mentality. Oh God, please heal me, Father. We grovel, we beg, God, I need this financial miracle. No, what Jesus is saying is that when we experience a miracle in our life, it gives glory to God. He wants us to experience the miracle more than we want the miracle. Amen? He wants us to experience these things. If you've been asking God to fill you with the Holy Spirit, do you know God wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit more than you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? It has nothing to do with you, in fact. He says, ask for anything in my name. And I want you to experience this. Why? Because it gives glory to God. Can I tell you, when someone's neck gets healed in front of your eyes, you know it had nothing to do with you. Like, there's nothing I could do at all. Right? I mean, how many of you know this, guys? We come in and we come to a service like this, and there'll be people that come up and ask for prayer. And you know, it's one thing to pray for someone for their headache to leave, and we think, oh yeah, no problem. Yeah, okay, cool. But then what if God's saying, hey, I want you to go to a graveyard. I don't want you to raise the whole place. Don't worry about that. Just one. Right? Just one. Who would you take with you? Do you take a good speaker or an awesome worship band? Or would you take people around you that know God, that know that He wants the miraculous to take place, that know the power that is in the name of Jesus, and you would go around that grave and say, there is literally nothing I can do here. God, it's all You. And I think that's the mentality that we need to have when it comes to approach any situation in our life, going, God, I cannot do this. There is nothing I can do. It doesn't matter how holy I am. It doesn't matter how great my pedigree looks. It's You, Jesus. It's You. It's always been You. And I love that because, guys, if you listen to anything I preach, it always comes to this. Relationship with Jesus is the thing that is going to fuel your life. And that's it. Abide in Me. And you will see the miraculous happen. Why? Because it gives glory to My Father. I want you guys to ask Me for things. I want you guys to just constantly be seeking Me. And you're going to see greater things than even I did. A lot of people go, oh no, that just means, you know, because there's more Christians now, good things happen. No, Jesus says, hey guys, you're going to see greater things. Right? Why? Because, hey, if you're abiding in Me, you're going to experience these things. You're going to know how great and how mighty I am. And let's be honest, when we start asking for the supernatural, it's a little scary, right? It's like, what if this doesn't work? Let's be honest, right? You're like, oh, you know, the pastor will say, hey, if you need healing for anything, and you're thinking in your mind, I do, but I don't want to go up there because I don't know if it's actually going to happen. And then we're all going to just be standing there kind of awkward looking at each other, right? Like, how's your arm? Still hurting, you know? Like, it happens. Hey, can we admit we're humans? We miss it sometimes. We're not perfect, right? So miracles give glory to God. So every time we pray for someone to experience a miracle, to experience healing, what we need to do is go with this mindset that, one, it's all Jesus, and two, God wants us to pray for these people. God wants us to experience a miracle in my life. God wants that. If you believe that, then it kind of takes pressure off of you, right? Because, hey, God wants me to experience this. Even if you don't experience it the first time, God wants me to experience this. Keep praying for it. Keep seeking it. I can't tell you the amount of times. I don't know why it works this way. I have a thought of why, but I can't tell you the amount of times that I have prayed for people 4, 5, and 6 times to be healed, and it's that fourth or fifth time that all of a sudden they get that full healing. I'm like, why is that? I have no idea, but it says, hey, keep asking. Keep asking. Believing, hey, God wants me to experience this. In Acts 3, we're going to kind of end with this verse and this thought. I'm not that close to being done. I'm just letting you know. In Acts 3, verse 1, we see the disciples after Jesus has left, right? And I love this because they go and they wait for the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come, has changed them, and then in verse 1 of Acts 3, it says, one day Peter and John were going to the temple at the time of prayer. So they were just doing their normal stuff. This is a normal everyday thing that they would do. At 3 in the afternoon, now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg for those from those going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Now, Peter looked straight at him, as did John. I love this moment in my head. I'm like one of those visionary people that I see the picture happening, like as I'm reading the Bible, and I just see this guy like, can I have money? And then Peter and John are like, poof. You know, like, the Bible's funny, y'all. It should be funny. Kind of like a Michael Jackson movie. Like, you know, okay. Without the squeal. Okay, and then it says this, Peter looked straight at him, as did John, and Peter said, look at us. It's just exclamation mark. So he likes shouting at this guy, look at us! And the guy's like, I am, you know? I just asked you for money. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. How many of you know, a lot of times when we're expecting something from God, He gives us something we weren't expecting that's greater than what we were wanting, right? I can't tell you the amount of times I've asked God to do something, and he takes me in this direction. I'm like, God, what are you doing? And then all of a sudden, it comes on the other side. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's better. You know? Like, God, that's better. So this guy wants money, but instead something else happens. It says this, and Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. Peter had this. Why? Because he abided in Jesus, right? It says he has this. So now I'm going to give it to you. Jesus in Scripture tells us, whatever you have received, give abundantly. Well, we have received the power through the Holy Spirit to cast out demons and to do miracles. And Peter knew this. It says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk, and he went in the temple courts walking and jumping and praising God. Could you imagine this commotion that's going on? Like this guy who couldn't do anything on his own, now all of a sudden is completely healed. It says, when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as that same man. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, and let's really hone in here what Peter says. He says, fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Miracles shouldn't surprise us. In fact, it should surprise us more when miracles don't happen than when they do happen. I mean, it happened every day for Jesus. It was just a normal thing. Like, it happened all the time for the disciples. It was just a normal thing. Why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us if it is by our own power or godliness? Let's not forget that, church. It's not by your own godliness. It's not by how much time you're spending praying for the miracle. You know, it's not. It's not by our own goodness, our own pedigree, that we see this miracle come. It's simply by abiding in Christ, getting to know him. There are so many books out there that say how to get your miracle, how to pray for a miracle. How does it? Guys, I'm going to tell you this right now. If you look up how the disciples prayed for people to get healed, it was usually one sentence. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Pick up your mat and walk. Jesus looked at a dead girl and said, little girl, get up. They didn't go, oh, Lord, I call forth the Holy Spirit. You know, like, some people do things, you're like, what are you doing? Just stop. Like, okay, let's stop. You know, like, let's just agree that God wants this, and let's just, in the name of Jesus, say this is going to happen, right? Let's agree together. Jesus says, hey, we're two or more gathered, and they agree, then it's got, I'm there, right? Hey, ask in my name, and it's going to happen. It's an amazing thing. It's not by our own power, our own godliness, or by our own enchantments that this happens. It's literally Jesus. It says, it's not by our own power, godliness that made this man walk. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life. Man, he's like pounding them. But God raised him from the dead. And we are witnesses of this. In verse 16, so much right here, it says, by faith in the name of Jesus, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Number four is this. Faith in the power of Jesus gives you access to the miraculous. Faith in the power of Jesus gives you access to the miraculous. Do we believe this morning that Jesus can actually do these things? A lot of us would say yes, but it's a whole different thing to actually let it happen through you. It's a whole different thing when God's speaking to you, when you see that person that needs prayer, and he's saying, hey, I want you to pray for someone. this person that's next to you, and it is terrifying, right? It's one thing to know. It's a totally different thing to walk in the power of Jesus. We sang it. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. We're like, woo, yeah, you know, and then it's like, but that person has allergies. I don't know about that one, you know. We believe Jesus literally brought our spirit from death to life, but he can't fix the common cold. Right? Right? I remember, I probably have told you guys this, but I remember I get allergies really bad. And so I started believing, man, I don't need to deal with allergies. I'm not going to deal with this. And I started praying. Every time I'd feel allergies come up, I'd just say, in the name of Jesus, you have to leave. And I saw them start leaving. And sometimes they'll come back up. And I tell them, in the name of Jesus, you have to leave. And they go back away. It's crazy. Like, I can literally feel it leave my body. And it just came. I had been dealing with it my whole life. But it wasn't until I understood God didn't want me to deal with this that I began to ask him for it. And he did it. You know? How many things in your guys' life right now are you thinking, look, God, I've prayed for this a million times. It just hasn't happened. Well, have you believed that God wants that to happen? Have you gone and had the elders of the church pray over you, as the Bible says to do? Do you believe? And if you're not experiencing that thing yet, continue to ask. Continue to pray. Because, guys, what the Bible says is that God wants us to experience these things. So what are the four things we talked about today? The first one was this. Understand that Jesus has all authority. It's all him. It's always been him. He has authority over the molecular structure that is in your body. He put it together. Every atom, every chromosome, every little thing that is in you, every amount of galaxy, he spoke it into being. And sometimes, like I said, we think, man, the common cold's too big. It's too big, God. I don't need to ask for that. It's just something I'm dealing with. It's just my cross to bear. No, it's not. God wants that to be gone out of your life. And second thing, that we can trust him. When Jesus said ask, we can trust that that's what he meant. Number three, miracles give glory to God. It gives glory to the Father. If you experience a healing, man, tell people about it. Right? It gives God glory. And the fourth one is this, that faith in the power of Jesus gives you access to the miraculous. I don't know how it all works. We could do a whole sermon series, probably a 20-week sermon series on healing and the power of God. Suffice it to say, Jesus looked at these little kids and he looked at the disciples and he said, hey guys, I want you to have faith like these. I want you to have faith like these kids. My son Joshua, I love it. Every time we have anything hurt, he just looks and he goes, name of Jesus, be healed. He doesn't question it. He doesn't go, did you get it? You know? How's it feeling now? You know? He doesn't do that. He just goes, oh, it's good. I mean, he'll use it for his own benefit. He's like, Mom, can't go to the park. Why? My leg hurts. Name of Jesus, leg good, good. Okay, we're good, Mom. Let's go. You know? Like, but I want that audacity in my life. I don't think I've gotten there yet. I don't think most people have gotten there yet. I don't think us not experiencing miracles has much to do with God, and more just has with us understanding the power that is in him. Understanding that he wants us to experience these things, guys. He does not want you to go your whole life without experiencing a miracle. How sad that must be, because it's so available to us. Jesus talks to his disciples about it over and over and over again. So this morning what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to be a little bold. I'm going to ask you to be just a little bold. If Sonia or Bud, if you want to come up and just play. I want, if you need a miracle to happen in your life, it could be emotional, it could be physical. What I'm going to ask you to do right now is to have faith and stand up and say, that's what I need that. I need a miracle in my life. Would you just at this point just stand up? And church, if you don't, would you just get around someone who's standing right now and lay hands on them? And let's do what the Bible says. Would you guys just move out of your seats, move around if you need to, put a hand on someone that needs a miracle? There are so many people in here that need miracles. I'm excited because it's the day where God's going to get glory. Amen? This is going to be cool. Guys, I'm not going to pray a crazy prayer. I'm not going to pray this prayer that's just going to help us just get to that place. But what I want us to do is all just repeat this. Say, God, I believe you want me to experience the miraculous. I believe that you and only you can do it. In the name of Jesus, we ask for this healing, this miracle to happen in our life. Amen. Amen. If you're near a person, would you just pray over them right now? This is the church being the church.
There is freedom where the Spirit of the Lord is. There is freedom where the Spirit of the Lord is. There is freedom. Chorus 2, Jesus reigns. Jesus reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom. So if you're tired and thirsty, there is freedom. And if you're tired and thirsty, there is freedom. So give your all to Jesus. So give your all to Jesus. There is freedom, yes, Lord. So give your all to Jesus. There is freedom, freedom reigns. Jesus reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom.
God, we thank you that it is not about us, it is about you. It's about knowing that there is power in the name of Jesus. God, so right now, Lord, I just pray for anybody who maybe hasn't experienced that miracle yet. God, in the name of Jesus, we just speak that that miracle needs to happen. Hallelujah. Satan, you have no power over us. God, any ailment in the name of Jesus, we command it to leave. Depression, we command it to leave. God, we command bones to be healed, minds to be set right. In the name of Jesus, we just say, God, it is you and it's always been you. It's not by our holiness or our goodness, it's you. So God, we just say, let it be done. Let it be done in this place. In the name that is above all names, Jesus. God, we ask for this to take place in their life. In your name, Jesus. And everybody said, amen. This is the church being the church. It's not about a pastor praying for you. It's about all of us together going, no, we have the power in the name of Jesus to command broken things to come new.
Hallelujah.
I encourage you, man, if you start feeling anything throughout this week, throughout your life, and you know this is not God's best for my life, begin to speak to that thing. Most of the healing I experience in my life is simply me just going, no, this isn't going to happen. In the name of Jesus, this is what I'm saying and believing, and it happens. Begin to wire your mind that way. Begin to understand that God wants this to happen. He loves us enough to let us experience these things. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Now go and have an amazing week. We love you all. Amen.